the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. We always love to hear from you, too, at 844-967-2789. You can call or text if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a message there as well. Always welcome to check in.
Yeah. 844-967-2789.
Luke Mathers was just in. That was a really fun conversation. He's a very knowledgeable human being.
I like Luke Mathers. He's such a handsome young man. He's so talented. Such a good guy. He's right outside the door.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, exactly. Coming up at 11:33, Milwaukee's Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe is going to join us for our weekly sports segment and all kinds of buzz about the Packers game on Sunday night. But there's an angle that you may not have considered.
So many complaining people, I bet you.
Oh, it's going to be quite the thing. So JR is going to update us about that coming up at 11:33. I wanted to start though. Sports Illustrated is in trouble.
Why?
They got caught publishing articles by fake authors with AI generated profile pictures. This is according to a website called Futurism.
Fake authors.
The latest publication to get called out for apparently using artificial intelligence. The magazine said it will take down these articles that were identified by these two fake Sports Illustrated writers, Drew Ortiz and Sora Tanaka. So their biographies are fake. Mm-hmm. These people don't exist.
Their pictures are purchased.
Their pictures are of, and I, This is scary to me. Right. Their photos are available on sites that sell AI-generated headshots.
Yeah.
So, Drew Ortiz, his photo was under the label Neutral White Young Adult Male.
And when you see him, he looks like a neutral white young adult male.
And Sora Tanaka is described as a joyful Asian young adult female.
I have no comment on that statement.
The article under their bylines, also very clunky.
Yeah.
Because AI-generated content is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. To anonymous sources involved in creating these articles in question said that Sports Illustrated had been using AI to create fake author profiles and that some articles under their names were generated by AI.
It said that when Futurism contacted SI about it, everything was gone.
They pulled everything.
Scrubbed the whole thing.
They claimed there was some miscommunication or it was an experiment or something, but I don't know about that. And the whole thing just makes me, I am not a person who embraces new technology with a lot of joy. It took me decades to get a smartphone. I resisted. I liked my flip phone. I had my flip phone for a long time.
You know, you can get a flip smartphone now.
It took me a long time to get there. So, but I don't like Alexa, I don't want that stuff in my house. I don't want all this AI stuff listening to everything I say. So this makes me very, very uncomfortable, all of this artificial intelligence.
Why?
Have you seen that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Yes, I've seen that one.
Okay.
I don't know.
Terminator. There are so many things that can go wrong. There are so many things that can go wrong with AI. And this goes back to a hearing in Congress not too long ago.
Yeah.
This lawyer was testifying about how he got a phone call that sounded exactly like his son. It was one of those scams with you have to wire money immediately because I've been arrested and all this stuff. And that was AI generated as well.
Yeah. And yes. So, okay. I don't think you're wrong, but this has been around. That sort of thing's been around for a long time. AI generated bots on Twitter, calling, that kind of stuff. And yes, something needs to be done about it. I don't know how, because it's like a Hydra. You clip the head off of one and two more pop up and they're everywhere and blah, blah, blah. I like, for me, the biggest fear I have of this is that you have AI generated stories. And in this idea, it's sports. I don't want to say it's innocuous, but
sports, well, it's not politics.
Sports Illustrated is not trying to move the needle on presidential elections. They got caught, they scrubbed it, and they're like, "Oops, sorry, it was just a mistake." And they're gonna probably be a little embarrassed. I don't think there's probably gonna be any sort of. They're not gonna call for hearings on Washington based on this.
No,
but. That's happened, and they're going to move on. They're going to try to cover their heads and be like, "We didn't do it. Sorry, you know." But what's going to happen is, well, how many? First of all, how many publications out there are doing this already?
And this is just because they don't want to pay writers.
Well, writers, but yeah, they don't want to pay writers. Or I mean, there's other ways of doing it too. Just grab an intern, get their headshot saying, "Hey, you're a writer. You can get paid like a writer, but you could use it as on your bio now." Blah blah. You know what I mean? There's ways around it. I guess my point is, like, SI was stupid. Like, they could have manufactured this so much better in a way that made them look like they weren't using robots. They could have put people on this to take care of it. So, like, you generate the story, you go through, making sure it sounds human, we'll slap your face on there, and you are the quote-unquote author.
But then there's no reason to have AI-generated content you have to have a person look it over.
Well, you want to have someone look it over. Like, if you're writing a 10,000... Well, they're not going to use AI for a 10,000 word piece, but even still, you have to have somebody who's just making sure that it's grammatical.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and that shouldn't take someone too long who's been trained to do it. But my point is, then what you do is you're going to have publications who are doing this unabashedly. And when you call them out, they're like, "Yeah, we have,
yes, we do.
We do." And then that unabashed, they're going to be using that to sway elections. And people are going to read it, and they're going to believe it, and we're going to say that's AI, and then someone's going to say, "I don't care." And that's the scary thing for me, is that people are going to be reading these as gospel, and even though you tell them
it's artificial intelligence,
they're going to say, "Well, I don't care. That's what I believe," and they wrote it, because that's what we're doing now. It's the death of facts. People are saying, like, the earth is flat. No, we have proof that the earth is round. No, that's not true.
Well, unfortunately, and Todd Alba references this very often, you are certainly, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts.
There are people who believe that that's not true.
844-967-2789. 844-967-PARTY. Am I the only one who's worried about this? Am I the only one who's freaked out about this? I can't be the only one who doesn't want, again, like Alexa in my house and all of that stuff.
Well,
it creeps me out.
Then, I mean, I think those are two different conversations, though. Like, if you don't want Alexa, don't have, like, someone gave me a Google Nest. I was like, "No, thank you," because I didn't want it.
Right.
The thing that freaks me out is the proliferation of this, like the AI articles. That's what freaks me out. My phone listening to me, I gave that up a long time ago. I sign up for something new every day to get a coupon. They have my information. It's out there. There's no going back. But this SI thing, that's what scares me, because this is just a sports magazine trying to cut some corners and cut costs.
Right. The bigger application can be far more damaging.
Exactly. What happens when a certain person running for president says, "Well, this article here says blah, 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 blah," and it's AI, and no one cares that it's AI. I share your freak. Outedness.
Well, and think about, I mean, with a character generation as well, you can take any politician and use his image and manufacture an ad that's completely spurious with no basis in reality. And people are going to see that and go, "Oh yeah, that's so-and-so did that. He, you know, killed a kitten on a..."
Oh yeah. I mean, I am weirdly terrified of deep fakes. Like, there's Greg Bach, you know, shooting someone in the middle of the street. I'm like, is it going to happen to me? Most likely not, but it's not impossible.
Right.
And that, yeah, those types of things about technology freak me out too. But I also can't spend my days being freaked out by things that are more probable than impossible.
Well, and you make a good point, Greg, in that, so my keeping Alexa out of my house is like, that way I can hide from them. Well, I have a smartphone.
You have a smartphone.
everything's out there.
Exactly.
They already got everything.
Yeah, that's like when the people were like, the CIA are listening to our calls. I'm like, of course they're listening to your calls. They're the CIA. They're probably like, oh, it's Jane. She's talking to her husband. They're talking about groceries. Hang up. Who cares? Unless it's, you know, unless you're like using skim milk to make macaroni and cheese, then you go to jail.
Well, that's a whole separate topic. Because Kraft now is out with a vegan mac and cheese.
Which I'm down for. I want to try. If people out there are going to put mac and cheese ice cream in their face, I get to try vegan mac and cheese.
Well, we'll have to bring some in and we'll send you home with it and you can do a taste test. And let us know. Because I am tofu curious.
Did we talk about tofu? I feel like we were going to talk about tofu.
And we never got around to it.
We never got around to it. But, you know, hey, you know, that's once again a whole other conversation. By the way, when you asked about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, Joe McClure thought you were talking about Jingle All the Way.
That is not the correct movie, Joe.
A movie about rampant consumerism taking over the landscape. But yeah, no, I share your nervous, your worry, all those things, because I feel like the way that people will allow themselves to fall down rabbit holes unabashedly and, you know, cross their arms and go, I don't care.
Because that's what I believe.
That's what I believe in. This is what makes me feel better. And so what's the article that's going to make someone snap? I mean, it's bad enough when a human writes it. What's going to be the robotic article that makes someone go, oh,
I'm going to take some action.
I should cause destruction.
Lots to think about.
Happy holidays.
Right. When we come back, looking for love all across Wisconsin. All the details are coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hides behind a mask. Secret, secret, I've got a secret. So no one else can see. Secret, secret, I've got a secret. My true identity. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Well, I spent a lifetime looking for you. Single bars and good time lovers were never true.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Rye. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Shout out to the folks listening in La Crosse on the Eagle WLCX, also in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave comments there as well. Coming up at 11:33, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe going to be joining us to talk all things sports. I hope you can stick around for that. Right now, though, I love stories like these just because they make me laugh. This is from the Wisconsin State Journal. Looking for love, a lost elk causes a stir across southern Wisconsin.
I feel like a Hallmark movie is happening. Oh, right?
An animated Hallmark movie. I could see that. Bull elk number 357 has been traveling for 3 months across central and southern Wisconsin looking for love. The nearest wild elk herd is 135 miles to the northwest in Jackson County. But this elk, bull elk number 357 has been sighted all over the place. An 8-second video taken from a car and posted on Facebook on Friday from Stoughton showed the bull elk briefly trotting south along Highway 51 before hanging a right onto Stevenson Street near the bank. As of Wednesday, the video had been viewed over 243,000 times.
I love this.
Now, wildlife experts believe that the elk was just passing through, although Saturday he was seen just north of Edgerton. They also think this bull elk may eventually make its way back home. But for right now, he's just kind of wandering.
Just looking for love.
Looking for love.
Not making any stops though. Like you said, ladies, sorry. I can't stay.
I'm just passing through.
Getting to Jackson. I love this.
I think it's just one of those things. It amazes me the variety of wildlife we have in this state. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy because I've always lived in the Milwaukee area that you forget.
Yeah.
That there are so many different types of animals like bobcats. I don't know. It blows my mind.
And they're hardwired for these things too. Like this elk is going to look for a mate.
Yes.
And that's
his mission.
That's his mission. And he's walking.
After leaving its herd in Jackson County, the bull elk headed east toward Wausau. It was spotted on a number of trail cameras by deer hunters in Weston and Cronawetter in Marathon County. Later reported spotting from archery hunters near Columbia County near the village of Rio, then into Dane County, then into Rock County. DNR has been getting all kinds of reports regularly about the bull elk. He managed to escape the 9-day gun deer season that wrapped up on Sunday. And the DNR also reminding hunters, don't mistake an elk or a moose for a white-tailed deer. I would think it would be tough to mistake a white-tailed deer for a moose.
There have been guys who have been shot to death during hunting season. They're like, I thought it was a deer. So I don't put past anything. I don't think put it past anybody. But I also want to believe. See, now in my head, I've got this image of a guy like has his bow or his gun just aimed at Bull 357, which is a very ironic name for him, but whatever. And then the guy just like very unsafely, don't do this, but he just takes his hand, puts it on the barrel and goes, no.
Don't do it.
He's looking for something.
He's
looking for love.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to call and or text. Good morning, Karina from Milwaukee. Thank you for joining us. What's up?
I have a question, guys, and I just thought about listening to you about that bull of elk. I don't know why would you call elk bull, but it's okay. Well, do you think will the deer do for elk?
What?
I don't know. It's the same species, technically, right?
You're saying why doesn't the bull elk fall in love with the deer?
Yeah. I'm asking, like, will the deer female will do for elk?
Obviously not, because my guess is that they don't. I mean, if I have to believe, I'm not a scientist, but I'm going to take an unscientific guess that if the bull is looking for their mate, they have to be, I don't want to
within,
say
within species,
within species, but like there's some like they're hardwired looking for this mate. They're hardwired looking for a specific thing, which is someone of their own species. That's an interesting question.
We could certainly try and track down someone from the DNR and find out if elk date outside their...
If we took this story further...
Their group.
I'd love this. If they date... I just love the idea that also, you know, you're a deer. I'm a bull. I'm a bull moose.
Let's make magic.
I was just going to say, let's be in love. Okay, freak.
There's nothing wrong with that. Thank you for calling, Karina.
Thanks, Karina.
Have a great day. elk herd in Wisconsin is now about 355 animals.
Okay.
23 elk released in 2015 in Jackson County. That herd now about 160 animals. An adult elk is 1 to 2 feet taller than an adult deer. Other differences, of course, are the antlers. White-tailed deer antlers curve forward. Elk antlers sweep back.
Would you say because of the popularity of all this happening, it's the bull herd around the world?
Oh. Sure. Well, we're wishing the best to Bull Elk number 357.
He needs a name.
Anything come to you off the top of your
Everything
head?
Everything is dumb in my head. Like, it's just all like Billy the Bull. Bleh. Calvin, you have any ideas?
I don't know why, but my head just immediately thought Jeff.
Jeff!
I
with
love
a
it.
J or a G?
With a J.
Okay.
Jeff with a J.
Jeffrey the Bull.
Jeffrey the Bull Elk.
Oh.
Good luck.
We love you, Jeffrey.
We wish you well. Don't settle. Don't settle.
Oh, no way.
Don't settle, Jeff.
Don't settle. Don't sell yourself out. Don't. Yeah. You find that love.
You're good enough.
Smart enough.
Doggone it.
And bulldog it.
People like you.
We like you.
We like you. All right. Our texter says Elk 357. We could call him Wesson. Smith and Wesson.
I got it.
When we come back, J.R. Radcliffe, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be joining us. Big game Sunday night in Green Bay, but there is an aspect of it you may not have considered that's causing all kinds of hoo-ha. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today I discover another heart looking for love. You came knocking my heart's door. You're everything I've been looking for. No more looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many places. Searching your eyes, looking for traces. What I'm dreaming of. Now that I found a friend and a lover, I bless the day I discover you. Oh, you looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many places.
Everybody watching.
Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always check in at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you would like to join us or make a comment or have a question. Aaron, joining us now, really happy to have you here, Journal Sentinel sports reporter, J.R. Radcliffe. Good morning, J.R. How's it going?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
We're excellent. We are excellent. Excited about...
Yes.
We're going to get to Sunday night.
Taylor Swift watch.
Okay.
There might even be football, but who cares?
I know, right? I can't get over how much attention this is getting. that she might be at the game, although it shouldn't be a surprise.
But it's gonna be two for one. Simone Biles and Taylor Swift.
Mm, this is true, yeah.
Simone Biles has said she will be at the game.
Hopefully these two will meet and have some sort of Instagram, you know, like tete-a-tete or whatever, and we'll, you know, we'll write all about that, of course. I am not, to peel back the curtain, I definitely have a meeting after this about our Taylor Swift Packers coverage. You know, like if she goes, we're having a meeting. Like this is not something we're just like casually working on. It's so funny.
So you can come up with different angles. How to talk about
of course.
This.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is somebody like, going to talk? Are you going to get tasked with like having to write about what she wears?
I fortunately will not be on the fashion beat. Thank goodness I am not the best. I mean, look at me. Look at this polo shirt I'm wearing. This is the height of my fashion.
Green Tay. Nope, didn't work. It's all right.
You know, I've been workshopping the puns all weekend.
Yeah.
You know, she has an entire album called Lover, Jordan Love. Like, we can work with that. We've got, you know, Romeo is on the team. Romeo is a prominent character in one of her songs. We are going to make this work. It's going to be great. So we're going to workshop until then.
That's hilarious. Yep. That is really hilarious.
Didn't work. It was terrible. Sorry.
Do we know for sure if it's still speculative on whether or not Taylor Swift is going to be there, right?
We have no idea. Absolutely none. She's supposedly in England today, London, for Beyonce's movie premiere, as Beyonce came to her movie premiere. So she's got a private jet. Like, she could be to Green Bay. It's Sunday night. it could be, you know, it could definitely work schedule-wise. It's just great to be able to live that way. But like, we have no idea yet. We do not know.
Well, I know that if she does, we're probably going to have you on next week just for a recap.
Absolutely.
And talk about, I don't know, are people going to blame her now if the Packers lose?
I do believe the Chiefs are undefeated with her in attendance. So I do think that's fair.
All right. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe talking about Taylor Swift watch at the Packers game on Sunday night.
You know what, though? What is sillier than paying attention to the most popular woman in the world versus a super pop star, or watching a bunch of dudes run into each other and try to get an oblong, you know, oval-shaped orb across the 100 yards of turf? Like, what's crazier? What's sillier?
Thank you, JR. I'm turning that into a promo.
Yeah. Yep, that's going to happen. I love that attitude too. It's like, cause yes, it's all silliness at the end of the day. And if Taylor Swift being at the game makes people interested in football, makes them smile.
Sure.
She's not starting wars. I mean, her fans are a little mean sometimes, but that's another discussion.
Why they gotta be so mean?
Just brush this, scrape it off. I don't know. I don't listen to music.
Shake it off.
I'm kidding. I listen to all of her music. But my point is like I love the joy it's brought people. Mm-hmm. But I've also found it very interesting the people who are like, just let them play football. They're gonna play football.
Well, yes.
She's not canceling games.
Right.
Like you're taking it too seriously, Bert.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Relax a little bit. All right. We're gonna move on to Jackson Churio.
Yes.
Yes.
The Brewers.
Signing an extension with the Crew. So what does this mean, JR?
Okay, so this is not a done deal yet, but all reports indicate that we're headed there maybe today, maybe tomorrow, or soon. Jackson Churio he's a 19-year-old young man who has not played a single at-bat of Major League Baseball to this point. He will turn 20 in March. He is, though, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, if not, maybe not number one, probably not number one, but like number two or three. And he is a very fast riser through the Brewers organization. He spent most of last year at AA, so he hasn't even seen a lot of AAA. But he has so outperformed what you would expect from someone his age at every level where he's competed. He hits the ball hard. He can fly. He plays great defense. He's quite simply like if the Brewers are going to have a superstar, you know, in the next 10 years, he's probably the guy. So what they've done is that they have agreed to a major league contract, which or at least we think they've agreed to a major league contract, and it'll probably be somewhere, I think it sounds like 8 years, the next 8 years, which typically would have been years that he would have been making really dirt cheap based on what the production they expect out of him. And then maybe through some of these arbitration years where his salary would have increased, and then even into a couple years of free agency where he would have presumably left the Brewers for a big payday or resigned with the Brewers for a big payday. So it's basically front-ending a lot of the money that he might stand to make much later in his career. And in exchange, they can bring him up right away and see how he can contribute to the big league club. And, you know, he's very exciting. There is a track record of guys that are 19 and 20 when they're ready for the big leagues that early that they become superstars. Like, it's not totally out of left field that, you know, it's not a 50-50 proposition. It's much better than that he will be really, really good. The risk for the Brewers is that they are, again, signing him before he's played a game of Major League Baseball. That hasn't always worked out in the history of baseball, but it does work out a lot. So this is a commitment to this guy that is, you know, quote unquote homegrown. He's only been in the organization since 2021. I mean, he was signed as a 16-year-old. He was very young.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he has developed into what they think is going to be a superstar. And now they're you know, cementing that he'll be involved for the next 8 years, presumably.
This is such a question of speculation, but you know, for all intent and purposes, if things were better, whether it was COVID or injury or whatever, this should be like Christian Yelich should be the superstar of the team. And he is the guy. Like when people think the Brewers right now, they still think Christian Yelich. And at the end of the day, he's the guy who kind of like took the baton from Ryan Braun as the superstar of the team.
Right.
There's going to be a time where Christian has to give it up, but I feel like he's still so young and he's still not new on the team. He's been on the team for a while, but I don't like, is it kind of thing of like saying like a Dame Lillard and Giannis, you have two superstars on the team versus it's this guy's turn and Christian, you know, someone will probably buy out your contract in a year or two, you know, like what does Christian Yelich have to be feeling right now? to see like the spotlight is kind of going to be pulled off of him a little bit.
I think Christian Yelich has been really honest and forthright when asked about sort of the big picture stuff in his career. You know, it's not lost on him that things went south after the 2019 season. He was he basically delivered back-to-back MVP seasons for the Brewers. He didn't win the MVP in 2019, but he could have. He was second. And so he delivered those seasons and then has fallen off a cliff. Now, last year was pretty good. It was solid. Mm-hmm. You would absolutely take that production that you got from him in 2023, but there was kind of a long road to get there. And you know, it still wasn't, you know, he's in his 30s now. He's not going to go back to that MVP level guy. So I think he's pretty honest with himself and forthright. I think he would probably look at this as a little bit of a passing of the torch, but knowing that he could still be a really valuable contributor to the Brewers for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. Like he's not going anywhere, at least not initially. But I hear what you're saying. You know, Yelich's career is probably going to end somewhat unceremoniously in Milwaukee. He's not going to get like a Miguel Cabrera or a Yadier Molina like send off where every team gives him gifts and stuff because he's gotten to 40 and he was a great player until then. Or that's probably not where we're headed with him. You know, I guess that's similar to how the Braun thing ended too, although COVID played into that. So I don't think it's going to bother Christian Yelich. Mm-hmm. He seems to be honest enough with himself that that doesn't seem to be part of his DNA. I could be wrong, of course, but I think he kind of knows that it hasn't worked out that way. He hasn't been a superstar for the last few years, you know, really since 2019.
Yeah. J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. We're talking all things sports, in particular about Jackson Chourio potentially signing a contract extension with the Brewers. Every time we talk about these guys, I have to, when you tell me how young they are, it blows my mind. And it's,
well, 20 is very young.
It is. And the fact that they signed him when he was a teenager, and all I can think of is how much pressure is that for that kid? What if he does sign this deal and he comes out and he blows? I mean, that happens.
It does. It's immense amount of pressure. And not even just, you know, so if you go back a decade, the last 10 years in Major League Baseball, there are, I believe, 8, maybe 9 guys who have played at age 19 or 20 more than half the games in a big league season. So, like, basically, and one of those guys was both 19 and 20-year-old, if you can believe it, Juan Soto for the Washington Nationals, who was amazing both years. It makes no sense. We're talking about the very top crust of players. You know, Jackson Chourio is from Venezuela. Not only does he have the pressure of an entire city and organization on him, he's learning English, you know, like he's coming to America. And this is, you know, he's been here now a few years, but this is a different climate. You know, he hasn't been north of Biloxi. He got into some AAA games in Nashville, but that was a week, you know, like he has no idea what he's in for. And so the fact that he has continually been great at every level is sort of a testament to how great of a prospect he is. You know, so many times guys will come to the United States and struggle, completely understandably, because they're 18 years old and don't speak the language. It's a monster undertaking.
Absolutely.
They're essentially boys.
They are completely. And, you know, to the point that you don't even know, like, are they, you know, you might think they're good at 16 and they don't develop. Like at 18, they might not be that good anymore, or at least not relative to other players at their level. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And I think when you see a guy like Chourio weather all of that and continue to mash the baseball, you kind of say to yourself, I mean, he is special. He is really somebody. Yeah. You know, he could definitely get to the major leagues and it might not work out. That has happened. Mm-hmm. I just think it's there's a better chance that he's actually incredible.
I'm going to volunteer as his additional mother in case he needs one.
Sounds
because
good.
I think someone needs to watch out for this kid.
Everyone needs a Jane.
Well,
that sounds like a song.
I have former partners who would argue with that, JR, but thank you.
Just to let you know, we did get a text on the text line from Pat listening to WGBW 715. Excuse me. Taylor Swift was seen looking at houses in Suamico, LOL. I do not think that's true. You are lying.
That's very funny. We get anytime a Packers player's house is on the market or gets sold, I mean, honestly, people read about that stuff all the time. So, like, the housing player, the real estate pro athlete crossover is very, very real. So even if Taylor Swift were in Suamico or even knew what Suamico was, I think it would be a major news story. So
we'll
keep our eyes peeled.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, JR, Badger Volleyball begins the NCAA tournament tonight.
Yeah.
How's it looking?
They do. Yeah, I mean, this is again a team that has been a regular visitor to the Final Four the last few years. Won a national championship a couple years ago. They don't have Dana Retke anymore this season. She was a 5-time All-American thanks to COVID. Just one of the best athletes in Wisconsin sports history, quite honestly. But they're very, very good. They've got several players who transferred from other Big Ten programs. Actually, Sarah Franklin. One of those from Michigan State. She's outstanding. They are a number one seed. They'll get to host throughout the postseason and will be favored to go back to the Final Four. I mean, they just beat Nebraska. Nebraska was the undefeated number one team in the country, and they swept them at the Fieldhouse in Madison just before the start of this tournament. So that's a really good sign. They could absolutely face Nebraska in the national championship game, and that would be sweet. They've done that before, so that would be really cool. They're one of the best sports programs in Wisconsin. I mean, full stop. And it'll be great to see them. Marquette is also in the tournament that gets going tonight. So that's they're I think a 6th seed, very quality program that they've built over there as well. But Wisconsin is really one of the cream of the crop in the nation.
Go Badgers! All right, thank you so much.
Go Badgers!
J.R. Radcliffe, always love talking to you. We'll see you in a week or so. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Madnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Possibly the only radio program where you will ever hear Snoop Dogg and I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas in the same hour.
That speaks to the level of genius that is Calvin.
There's no
Calviente, the one, the only. He may be a board operator, but he ain't bored with us.
Ooh.
Boom!
Look at that. Hey, by the way, it's really, really, we're in downtown Waukesha, but wherever you are around the state, enjoy today.
Yeah.
It's 43 degrees right now in downtown Waukesha, sunny skies. It's really beautiful. And then tomorrow, it looks like snow showers and then rain showers. And even though it's going to be pretty mild over the weekend, it's going to be a little bit messy.
And that is Jane Madnier providing needles for your balloons.
What?
It's just let us enjoy the day.
Enjoy the day. It's beautiful. Get outside if you can.
We'll know it's crappy tomorrow. We're going to go outside.
Another reason why I bring up the weather.
Yeah.
And we talked about this earlier in the week, how Thanksgiving kicks off a whole list of special days.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a day for everything.
Oh, yeah.
There, you know, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Secondhand Sunday, Small Brewery Sunday, Cyber Monday. So we have compiled a list of all the different days leading up to Christmas. That's that word,
you
Christmas.
Just, Mitch McConnell. there's a day before Thanksgiving that we don't talk about real quick. Blackout Wednesday, and it's a real thing.
That is a real thing.
Yep.
That's where everybody comes home from college, and they go out to the bars, and they get annihilated.
Yep, and then the next day, they're like, that was a good idea. All right.
Well, National Christmas Lights Day is December 1st.
National Christmas
Lights Day.
Lights, okay, gotcha.
National Christmas Lights Day.
Lights.
So if you want to get out today and get those lights up, before the weather starts to change. Today would probably be the day to do it.
Actually, this is a perfect day. We are going to have some good weather next week. I checked the 10-day forecast. It's going to be nice towards the mid to end of next week. But yeah, today is a good day. I think I might take my puppers out
and let
her explore during the day with a little bit more warmth.
Do you have your lights up yet?
We never do lights.
Oh, you don't do outside? No.
What I'm thinking about doing is just going to the hardware store and getting like some red and green lights and just putting them in the... Just like simple, like light bulbs to put on the, you know, the outdoor lights. I don't want to get on a ladder. I don't want to staple anything to my house. That's just not me, because then I'm just counting down the days until I like, get back on the ladder and take it all down.
Calvin, what about your family? Do you have your do you have the outside lights up yet?
My dad used to climb on the roof. He doesn't do that anymore. We got one of those like laser projectors that just, it looks kind of cheap, but we don't have it out yet.
Have you ever seen the ones where they program their house to like be like a metal song?
There are some astonishing videos on so YouTube cool. of people's house displays synced up with music, and it's that blows my mind.
Do you all do that? Are you
put, you know, lights? It varies from year to year. Yeah. When we first bought our house, I would go so crazy that if you use the microwave, we would blow a circuit. Because I had so many lights outside.
Sheesh.
As I've gotten older, I have scaled back on
that somewhat. There's just one candle in the window.
It depends. It varies from year to year. And I try to change things up a little bit. Because I don't know. Maybe this is just me. Sorry to be judgy. But do you...
She's not sorry.
Do you do the exact same Christmas light display every year? Or does it change from year to year? 844-967-2789.
I bet you there's some people out there who like have their plan, and you know, like you're either going to get like people like you and I who 1 year some, 1 year none.
Yeah, depends upon how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Then there's some people who have the exact same layout every year, and then you have the person who's like, this year must be bigger. This year must be better. More lights.
Well, and there's always that one person, I think, in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Who will really take it over the top.
Our craziest person in our neighborhood is not super crazy, which is nice. It's beautiful, but doesn't keep anybody up and doesn't inspire competition, which is the big problem.
The competition?
Yeah, when you're like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
It's funny that you say that, because a number of years ago, I felt that way with the people across the street. It's like, oh, you added lights on that bush? I'm adding lights on two bushes.
Oh, boy.
It was an unspoken competition because...
I feel like it was a one-way competition.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It was entirely in my own mind. Yes. 844-967-2789. Do you vary your Christmas light display? Tomorrow is National Christmas Lights Day. If you want to get the strings out and start stringing them up, today would probably be a good day to do it while the weather is still pretty good. Any feelings about color schemes?
No, honestly, like, I mean, here the thing is, if you are going to have like white lights, just keep it that way. And stick to that theme. If you want colored lights, go for that too. But like, not a mishmash. I don't want a book being told from your setup. Like, you know, this is the pod. We talk about Jesus. He has Santa Claus. He has the elves. Like, just give me something simple, tasteful, easy. Stick to a theme. We're good. When I have to let go, if it's chapters, I'm like, I'm done.
It's too much.
It's too much. Too much.
Don't forget Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, beautiful.
In West Dallas.
Is that where that is?
Yes. It is in West Dallas. We will talk more about that as we get a little bit closer to Christmas. Gary from Sussex, real quickly. Thank you for calling, Gary. Good morning.
Yeah, we bought a millennial tree. It was back in 2000, and it was a fiber optic tree.
Oh, I remember
and,
those.
When you plug it in, it's got like billions of little lights on it, and we love that. So we put that tree up. We put a couple of ornaments on it and make it easy. My next door neighbor, she goes nuts as far as every year it gets bigger and bigger. And she doesn't do just Christmas. It's like Halloween and any other
all of
holidays.
Them.
So. Yeah. And then with me, I can get all of my lights all up in less than an hour. So
perfect.
You got it down to a science. Good for you.
Good job, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Enjoy National Christmas Lights Day. That is tomorrow. We will be back with you tomorrow, Stick around for the news, followed by the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus.